Electric is Richard Thompson's 14th studio album, produced by Buddy Miller at his home studio in Nashville, where Nashville luminaries like Alison Krauss drop by to add some guest vocals. It's definitely more electric, but today, in front of an enthusiastic audience of World Cafe special producers, we get to hear acoustic versions of the songs. And we'll start off with this performance of Good Things Happen to Bad People.
Sweet thing, believe me, you'll never deceive me. You stared me down without blinking. That's when I really started thinking. You must have been running around. You must have been running around, 'cause you were smiling. Your friends say you're antsy for something fancy, like a caged bird that's broken free. You want to fly high or mess on me? Well, I know you've got a secret or two. Yes, in a brand new do, and you're so happy. Good things happen to bad people. Bad people, but only for a while. You cried the day I walked you down the aisle, and I know you've been bad from the way. What a teaser. What's in that strange cologne I'm smelling? You know more than you're telling. Well, I know you've been running around. I know you've been running around, 'cause you're so happy. Cried the day I walked you down the aisle, and I know you've been bad from the way you smile. Thank you.
Richard Thompson live on the World Cafe today with music from Electric, as we mentioned, the acoustic versions of these songs. I was reading you talking about going to Buddy Miller's joint to make this record, and you conceived this as an album for the trio right from the very beginning?
Well, I did, yeah. I've got a band that's like a five-piece band, and it's expensive to get them all together to do shows. Yeah, usually we kind of have to do a whole tour to justify the expense, because one lives in England, one lives in Canada. But the three-piece, the rhythm section, we all live in Los Angeles. So So we were doing some shows as a three-piece, hitting festivals on the weekends and stuff, you know, which is sort of economically viable. And I thought, well, we need some material. So I started writing stuff for the trio, and suddenly I'd written, you know, lots and lots of songs. And I thought, well, let's just do the album as the trio and see what happens.
Tell me about Buddy Miller's place. It's a studio in his house, right? So come down in his slippers and stuff?
Just about. Yeah. And it's a big house. So the ground floor is the studio, and he lives upstairs. I never actually went upstairs. I wasn't allowed upstairs.
It's like Graceland. You can't go upstairs.
Probably.
Now you've done that producer thing with Loudon, Wainwright, and with others. What does he actually do besides make the coffee?
Nothing. Producers don't do anything. There's all different kinds of producers, from, you know, the George Martin old school approach, you know, Quincy Jones kind of producing, to artists who produce themselves. And I think that Buddy's a great producer because he's already a sympathetic musician. He knows how to listen. He knows how to fill in the right places. As a guitar player, he'll kind of listen to the song and be a very sensitive accompanist. And he does the same kind of thing as a producer. So he'll kind of listen. He'll say, you know, do you want me to play a rhythm guitar on this bit, or if you say no, then also his ego isn't hurt. He's just very flexible and sympathetic. Hmm.
Well, it's there's certainly very electric moments on this, but there are also some really pretty acoustic songs. And you put one of them kind of right up front, that Salford Sunday. And Salford is a place in England?
Salford's a place just outside of Manchester, England. And it was a very gritty industrial town. It was right there, very close to the birth of the Industrial Revolution. And I used to love it in the old days, when it really was all the old chimney stacks and the mills and the steelworks, you know, and the Manchester Ship Canal was all right there. And it was a really grimy place, but I used to love the grime of it, you know. Now it's very modern and high tech, and the BBC have just moved Lock, Stock and Barrel to Salford, which is a kind of strange thing to do, but that's what they've done. So the song is kind of affectionate, slightly backhanded, sort of complimentary towards the town of Salford.
Okay.
Salford Sunday, skies are weeping. Dawn is creeping through the blind. Salford Sunday, and I'm making for the night I left behind. Salford Sunday, morning after, bass drum beating in my head. Sunday papers talking scandal on a cold side of the bed. For I left a weeping widow, she should be lying on my pillow. If I wasn't such a hard nose, such a perfect waste of time. Salford Sunday, and I'm dreaming, and it's all in black and white. I do better, Lord, when I'm dreaming, better than I did last night. Salford Sunday, and I'm walking, though the rain is pelting down. There's a train goes heading back to London. I hate to leave this ugly town, for I left a weeping willow. She should be lying on my pillow. If I wasn't such a hard nose, such a perfect wisdom of time. Soft at Sunday, skies are weeping, dawn is creeping through the blind. Soft at Sunday, and I'll make him for the night I left behind. For the night I left behind. Thank you.
Another one of the new ones from our guest, Richard Thompson. That is Salford Sunday. You know, Richard, we've talked a lot, so now I have got to get to even more nooks and crannies and obscure places in your career to talk about. So let's talk about your father, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Your father was a detective at Scotland Yard?
He was, yes. Oh,
wow.
Yes.
And he was Scottish.
Yeah.
Any connection there? No.
There is, because the Metropolitan Police, that's the London Police Force, used to recruit a lot of people from the Scottish borders, where my father was from. John Kirkpatrick, one of my fellow musicians, one of my old bandmates, his father was also from the borders, and he also joined the police. I mean, it's kind of parallel, you know. So they recruited thousands of Scots for some reason. Perhaps because they're a bunch of maniacs, you know.
But there was a lot of... there was. That is sort of where a lot of the Scottish folk music came from. Was that in his
collection? Yeah. He had a lot of Scottish... you know, more dance music than folk music. My father's mother was from the Isle of Skye, and she used to speak Gaelic and used to sing some of the old Gaelic songs, which was very, very beautiful. So there's a kind of traditional connection there.
The other part of your career, and this may come to the question that you jokingly said you were surprised the Queen didn't ask you when you met her, was you had a period when you left Fairport before you really started doing solo things, where you did a lot of session work, and I don't know if those were all kind of Joe Boyd sessions or what they were, but and you played with Nick Drake. And what can you do? You remember those sessions, what they were like?
Yeah. The Nick Drake sessions I always overdubbed, because Nick tended to record on his own, certainly on the records I played with him, and everything would be overdubbed. He was kind of, he just wasn't used to playing with other people. I just go in the studio with the guitar. I played in a track called Time Has Told Me on the first record, which is such a great record. And I did another track on another record, and Nick was a quiet guy in a time when that wasn't remarkable. There were a lot of quiet people. I think because people took so many drugs, so 1967, 68. It was quite normal for somebody to sort of sit in the corner for 6 hours and say nothing. cool, man. me having a conversation with Nick in 1968, would have been pretty, pretty boring, possibly no words exchanged.
Did you like that playing on other people's records? I mean, you have your own style, and I was just wondering how that...
I think anyone who does studio work will tell you it's a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get, and you have to kind of take pride in the fact that that you got through the session, unscathed. there's all horror stories of, you turn up late and the whole orchestra's waiting for you, that kind of thing, but being embarrassed on a session is just about the worst thing that can possibly happen to you. You don't want stories about that, do you?
Really? I guess not. No, I Thanks for warning us. Richard Thompson is our guest, and we're moving through some of the songs on Electric, the new album. And another new one?
I do. I think. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. This one's called Stuck on the Treadmill. Goes out, the bills come in, round and round we go again. I come close but I never win, I'm stuck on the treadmill. Another day of punching steel, till my arm's too numb to feel. I'm like a hamster on a wheel, I'm stuck on the treadmill. Of metal every day from 9 to 5. Others may be living, but me, I just survive. Me, I just survive. Machines screaming in my ear. Wasn't I just standing here? I went to sleep, I grabbed a beer. Now I'm stuck on the treadmill. Me and the robot working away. He looks at me as if to say, I'll be doing your job someday. Stuck on the treadmill. Every day from 9 to 5. Others may be living, but me, I just survive. Me, I just survive. Jobs are going by the score. They're laying off 100 more. 20 years and they show you that door. I'm stuck on the treadmill. Strikes coming, trouble's brewing, the whole town's going to rack and ruin. Next year, what'll I be doing? Stuck on the treadmill.
Can we have another round of applause for that guitar part? Yes. That is sweet.
Actually, the third time around the riff, I got it right. The first time I did it.
So you made this record with mostly the trio, but you had Josh Von Kennedy did some singing on it, and you all, Alison Krauss sang.
Alison Krauss sang on the next song I'm going to do, which is... Yeah, and we had Siobhan Mayer Kennedy, who is, lives in Nashville. She's from Liverpool, England, but she lives in Nashville. And she sang half a dozen songs. She's great, really good.
Yes,
and we had Stuart Duncan play some fiddle. He's a wonderful fiddle player.
So there you are in Nashville. You might as well use people.
Yeah, you might as well.
That's incredible. So the one with Allison is called, it's called Snow Goose?
It's called Snow Goose.
Any story behind it?
Well, it's a song about self-defeat. You know, the guy, you know, worships this woman, puts this woman on a pedestal, and he thinks, well, how am I going to get her? And as soon as he's thought of an idea, he's already countered himself. He's already contradicted himself and thought, well, I can't do that. And it just happens like verse after verse and progression after progression. He goes through all these stages. And well, you'll hear it. Judge for yourselves. And in Britain, a snow goose is fairly rare, whereas they're about 10 a penny over here. So the idea is it's kind of a rare thing. Anyway, there you go. Northern winds will cut you. Northern girls will gut you. Leave you cold and empty, like a fish on the slab. Oh, she is like a snow goose, pale and rare and footloose, with the joys that tempt me. Soon turn and kick and stab. In the dream I'm running down a street of molasses. In the dream I'm kicking no ground. I must take some measure to pursue my treasure, guided by confusion, my compass through the storm. But if I call her sister, manfully resist her, believe my own illusion, or will passions warm? In the dream I'm running down a street of molasses. In the dream I'm figuring no ground. But if I call her lover, will I soon discover that her eye is taken by some fawning friend? Then my glass would shatter and my mind would scatter, being so mistaken. In the dream I'm running down a street of molasses. In the dream I'm figuring no ground. In the dream I'm calling, but there's never an answer. In the dream, my voice makes no sound. Northern winds will cut you. Northern girls will cut you. Leave you cold and empty, like a fish on the slab. Thank you.
Richard Thompson, our acoustic electric session today on the World Cafe.